Welcome to this edition of the Bear's Den podcast. I'm Matt Bear. From a hog farm in a tiny southern Minnesota town to becoming the state's leading scorer, that was the path of today's guest, Cody Schilling. Cody grew up in Ellsworth, Minnesota with 21 kids in his graduating class, and that close-knit family and community raised him into a high school basketball superstar, a Division II All-American, and now head coach at his alma mater. After graduating from high school as the Minnesota boys basketball's leading scorer and assist maker, Cody's path took him to Augustana University in South Dakota, where he finished his career as that school's all-time leading scorer. Recently, he was just named head men's basketball coach for the Vikings and can't wait to get going. Hear about all of this and more in this episode. But first, let's recognize our sponsor, Midwest Basketball Training. If you are looking to hone your skills or amp up your training, you should check out the MBT facilities or their other player development opportunities. They have now added another facility in Rogers to go along with their other locations in Brooklyn Park, Blaine, and Maple Grove. Visit their website at MidwestBasketballTraining.com for more information. Pat Freeman and his team do a great job working with youth around the metro area. And again, that website is MidwestBasketballTraining.com. Also, if you haven't yet, don't forget to subscribe and follow the show wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's head into the Bear's Den for this conversation with Cody Schilling. All right. Excited to welcome Cody Schilling into the Bear's Den. Thanks for joining us, Cody. How are we doing today?
I'm good, Matt. Thanks for having me. I've been a busy couple weeks here, putting a staff together, hitting the recruiting trail. We got five kids committed in the last 2 weeks, but it's been a really fun experience. It was something that I was, obviously looking forward to the last couple of years, and for it all to kind of come to fruition, it's been a kind of a dream come true.
Yeah. So let's just jump right in with that. Cody, you're now, I believe the 16th coach ever at your alma mater, Augustana in South Dakota, their Division II program. What's that been like the last couple of weeks with Coach Billiter leaving and stuff like that? Was that something you had kind of had your sights set on becoming a head coach at your alma mater?
Yeah, absolutely. When Coach Billiter brought me back 3 years ago, that was kind of a dream of his too, was going to be like, hey, when I retire and when I leave this program, would love to leave it to somebody in the Augustana basketball family. We had a lot of talks over the last few years, and, so just again, to see it all come to fruition, it's been a really, really unique last 2.5 weeks. So thankful that, Josh Morton, our athletic director, and Stephanie Herseth-Sandlin, our president, they had tremendous just, belief in me. And so for them to kind of hand me the keys after, what Coach Billiter has built here at Augustana, it's been a dream come true. The last 2.5 weeks, it seems like it's lasted about 48 hours. It seems like I got hired about 2 days ago, but like I said, we hit the ground running as far as recruiting went, re-recruiting our current roster to keep as many guys as we could. Obviously in today's world of the transfer portal, and when there's a coaching change, you're always going to lose a couple guys, but we did a good job of keeping six of our current guys there, four guys with a lot of starting experience. And then too, we've signed, like I said, five commits in the last kind of 2 weeks here. Just finished putting my roster or my staff together today. Two really good young assistant coaches who are relationship guys, big time recruiters, big time skill development guys. So everything's kind of coming into place. So it's been fun to be a part of.
That's awesome, Cody. That's great to hear. So since your playing days there, you mentioned the transfer portal and some other things obviously that are common now in college basketball at all divisions, but what's different about Augustana since you played there versus now taking the head coaching job? Are there any major differences that kind of stick out to you?
Well, number one, the campus is completely different. We've done a really good job over the last kind of 8 to 10 years of renovating dorms, building new dorms on campus, new apartment complexes on campus. Obviously starting Division I hockey, we now have Midco Arena, which is a 3,000 seat, hockey arena right there on campus. We've done a great job, beautiful football stadium, baseball, softball. There's a brand new outdoor track, renovations, to women's soccer. Lots of new locker rooms and lounge areas. But yeah, the biggest change, I guess, on the men's basketball side is just, the transfer portal. It used to be, you committed to a school for 4 years and you were going to be there, and the guys you kind of went in with and played with, your first couple of years were kind of going to be the guys you knew you were going to be around for 3 or 4 years. And there's really good things about the transfer portal, and there's some things that I definitely would change. But in a situation like I'm in, getting hired, only having six returners, we've been really active in the portal. It's been a really good thing for us. We found some really good fits. Kids that wanted to be Augustana Vikings, they fit us in the community, they fit us in the classroom, they fit us on the court. So the transfer portal for us has been really, really good. And then the world of NIL. We use an app called Open Doors where our fan base, donors, boosters, can kind of get a hold of our guys, and whether they want to, have them, if they're a business owner, they can have them in a commercial or have them come take pictures or sign autographs, at a car dealership or a restaurant, or come to, their son's or daughter's birthday parties. And so opportunities just in the NIL world and like the transfer portal too. But just the city of Sioux Falls is changing so much every day. Our campus has changed so much, since I've been out 12 years ago. But as an alum, it was fun to kind of see from afar. And now that I've been back for, this will be my 4th year back at Augustana, it's been a blessing to be a part of.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. And there is a lot, you mentioned that NIL stuff with the app. That I haven't heard of that, Cody. Is that pretty common with other schools, or is that something that you guys are doing that's kind of newer?
Yeah, so Open Doors, like I said, kind of a NIL app. It's a company that a lot of Division II schools and smaller Division I schools that maybe don't have like an NIL collective like some of the bigger schools do. So it's just a great way, again, for our fan base and our donors and boosters to, if they want to reach out to our current student athletes, and just get a hold of them and just develop a relationship, but utilize each other as best as possible.
Yeah, and with the transfer portal, as you mentioned, Cody, kind of coming in being a new coach, how are you going to kind of, I guess, try to marry the two, by recruiting kids and hoping for them to stay, 3, 4 years there versus, trying to bring in an influx of talent maybe every year or two as well?
Yeah, I think there's got to be that like happy medium where you're going to continue to recruit high school kids every single year and develop kids, and hopefully they stay for 3, 4, 5 years depending on the red shirt. But there's also that portal where it's like at the end of the year you have to kind of see like, okay, what were our strengths, what were our weaknesses? Is there a player in the portal that instantly makes us better for next season? And so too, I think it's going to be, my job as the head coach, but also our staff of, kind of just utilizing the portal of being like, hey, we still need to recruit high school kids. That's still going to be kind of where we find our niche year to year. But at the same time, if we can find a kid or two out of the portal, we have to do that as well.
Yeah, always got to be looking. Always got to be keeping your eyes and ears open for sure. But a lot of people know you from the Augustana world, Cody, but a lot of people in Minnesota know you from your Ellsworth days and being a star player here in Minnesota and winning a couple state championships. So let's hop in the time machine and jump back a little bit to the high school days if we can here. When I was doing some research on you, Cody, the thing I found kind of most interesting was, just your brothers and the family that you had there with the three of you guys growing up, Kurt and Casey. How much did you guys compete against each other, and did that help you growing up?
It's one of those things, Matt. I think I probably grew up in the most competitive family in the state of Minnesota. My older brother was a college player at Northwestern College in Orange City, Iowa, and he's a Hall of Famer, scored 2,000 points there. And then obviously Casey and I both played at Augustana and, had really good careers. Casey ended it with a national championship, scored 2,000 points. When I graduated, I'd played in three NCAA tournaments out of my 4 years and had broken the all-time scoring record. So it's one of those things where I think we probably owe a lot of credit, as far as our careers go, to each other. Kurt pushed me so much growing up, and I think I pushed Casey. And then, we all got to the age where we were all kind of in elementary, middle school, high school, and my parents are very competitive and former athletes too. And just one of those things where, again, just a very athletic family, a very competitive family. And luckily, we grew up in a small town that they took high school sports very serious, and you could always get a key to the gym, always get a key to the weight room. And it was a blessing. I played with, you think about a town. I grew up in a town of 500 people. And I think we had like an 8 year stretch where we produced like seven college basketball players in 8 years. And when you think about that, there's some towns of, 80 to 100,000 people that don't produce seven, college basketball players in 8 years. So we had a really good run of some really talented families, but at the same time, just a group of guys that fell in love with the game of basketball. And I'll tell you what, we worked really, really hard year round at it. So.
Yeah, I can imagine. And like your particular story, Cody, just where you guys grew up, your parents and having a hog farm. How much did you have to balance the chores on the family farm versus, getting extra time in to get shots up and stuff like that?
Yeah, we grew up, there's no doubt about it. Anybody that grows up in a farm community or grows up on a farm or an acreage, we grew up sorting pigs, loading pigs, giving pig shots. It was, we were pail feeding nursery pigs, growing up. It was one of those things where, we had a lot of corn and bean grounds. So we were ag farmers as well. But yeah, we grew up, like I said, grew up with thousands of hogs, and it was something, I tell my parents this all the time, it pretty much is in my DNA, like hard work. Like you can't really grow up on a farm and be lazy. There's chores
No,
in
you
the
can't.
morning, there's chores after school. You're gonna load pigs late at night, early in the morning. It helped that, there was three of us boys, so it seemed like if it was my game day, my brothers would step up, and if it was their game day, you would have to step up type deal. But I loved it. I loved growing up on a farm. I loved being one of three boys. It did. It taught you how to work hard. It taught you, respect and a lot of little things that I carry on with me every day, in today's world.
What was the worst job on the farm, Cody, as far as like you said, doing stuff with the pigs? Was it giving them shots? Was it, in the birthing pen? Like what was the worst job that you could possibly have on the farm?
I think anybody you talk to that grows up on a farm, especially hog farmers, they'll tell you power washing is the worst job out there. So when obviously when you get rid of, so when you sell a group of hogs, and they go to market, then a new group of hogs comes in. Well, you have to wash down the entire barn. And so you have what they call a power washer. And so basically you're just washing off gates, flooring, manure, everything. And that barn's got to be clean because the next group of pigs that come in, if it's not, they could get a disease or, get sick from the previous group. So power washing, I'll tell you what, there was days where, you're power washing and there's manure and crap flying up in the air, and all of a sudden it's on your clothes and it's in your face. And if you've never power washed before, I would say everybody should have to experience it one time. And if you don't, you're not missing out. So.
Right. See, that's the thing, Cody. You can use that as a coach now when kids are complaining, about, running some sprints or doing something. You could say, "Hey, you want to come power wash the old pig farm?"
Yeah, no doubt about it. When my parents listen to this, my dad's going to get a kick out of that because he is going to say, "You have not power washed since you graduated from high school." But it is one of those jobs. You're right. Anytime a kid complains, I'm going to say, "Hey, you didn't have to grow up pail feeding nursery pigs or power washing, so you can run a couple extra deep sixes."
Yep.
So.
And did I read something too, Cody, that you guys have something like 10 or 11 baskets, different hoops all around your property?
So when we were growing up, like I said, between my older brother and my younger brother, and my dad I'm sure he just shakes his head and laughs about it all the time, but it was one of those things where anywhere we could put a basketball hoop, we did. We had one in the front yard, the backyard. I think we had about five on different hog buildings. Anywhere there was a slab of cement, we would find a way to put a basketball hoop up. We had a hay mound up in one of our hog buildings where there was just bales of hay up top. Well, we moved all the bales of hay to one side of the hay mound, and we actually put a hoop on the opposite side. And it was hilarious too, because a lot of our, you know, middle school buddies, high school buddies, you know, we would just go out to the hay mound, we'd turn the lights on, and we'd go up there and just play 2-on-2 and 3-on-3. And it's funny because, you know, you talked about like the state tournament runs and the state championships and stuff. And like, whenever we talk about like the on-scene hours, it was funny because so many of my buddies and my brothers and I, like, we really, you know, put the hours in on the farm. Like we were out with lights on, you know, just anywhere, like I said, anywhere we could throw up a hoop. And it was just 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, king of the court, playing tip 21. And we just fell in love with the game of basketball. And by the time we were freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, it was just, it's all we wanted to do. Like, everybody's like, well, what'd you guys do in a small town on, you know, a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon? I was like, we had a key to the gym and we went and played open gym. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody wanted something different out of their high school days. And we wanted to win state championships and we wanted to leave a legacy at Ellsworth. And it was really cool that we had the opportunity to do it in the long run.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the one thing I always like to talk about with people, Cody, from a small town, because I'm from a town of 1,700, so three times just massive compared to Ellsworth. But
you're from the city then. You probably had like stoplights and a stop sign and everything.
We had one.
Well, it's one more than we had. So.
Right. Is just, you know, when you're trying and you have that competitive gene, who do you do it with? You know, because if you're in a small town, you may not have people that have the same goals or mission that you want to accomplish. You know, people are working, they're doing different things, they're on the family farm. How lucky do you feel then, Cody, that you had that with your brothers, or sounds like your friend group too, that you guys had competitive games and stuff you could do all the time, it sounds like?
Yeah, you know, we were just really fortunate. I think, you know, like you said too, like small towns, it's all kind of who you like surround yourself with and the people you grow up with. And I was fortunate, you know, I had two brothers, a lot of cousins around the area, had a really, really good friend group at Ellsworth. We're still good friends, you know, today. But just guys who, they were driven, they were passionate, you know, we kind of had the same goals in mind. And now you look at us now and we're all like in our mid 30s. And a lot of those guys are really, really successful. They own their own businesses. They're really good fathers, really good husbands, and they're just really good people in their community, whether they still live in Ellsworth or whether they've moved to Sioux Falls or they live in small, you know, towns around the area. They just, it's been fun for me just kind of to look at all those guys and say, hey, not only did we make really, really cool memories and great memories that, you know, when we were in high school, but it's just fun to continue to make memories, but just to watch those guys from afar. And just, like I said, just watch them make an impact in all their communities as well.
Yeah. Well, quick question for you, Cody, with that, obviously a small town, and when you're going to high school and stuff, we always joke with people from the smaller towns, like when prom comes around, what was more competitive, like the games on the farm or trying to find a date to some of these things with the amount of kids that you grew up with?
Well, I'll tell you what, I had 21 kids in my class, and I think it was like 13 boys and 8 girls. And I think I was related to like 2 or 3 of the girls. So there wasn't really a taking a girl from Ellsworth to prom. So you kind of had to find a girl from the neighboring town or like come to Sioux Falls type deal. But yeah, I would say for a lot of my teammates, probably it was probably easier to find a hoop or find a gym than it was a date to prom. No
doubt. So. Love it. Well, let's get into some of the legacy you left there at Ellsworth, Cody. So you guys had quite a run there, 5 state title appearances in 7 seasons, from 2003 to 2009. Obviously you were involved in some of those were before or after your time, but let's jump to 2006. If you remember that year, you guys lost in the title game, to Rushford Peterson, 55-52. I believe that was your sophomore year, correct?
Yep. That was my sophomore year. Thanks for bringing it up, Matt.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
But hey, the next 2 years, we got good, Cody. So how much did that fuel you guys for your junior year, then coming back, getting a taste of it?
You know, when we lost in the state championship to Rushford, my sophomore year, it was just one of those things where we were going to return a ton of guys the next 2 years. You know, we lost a couple seniors that year, but we knew we had a chance to, you know, to be honest, just really kind of make a run. And so, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, you're kind of sitting in that locker room as a sophomore and you're looking around and you're like, okay, we're going to miss a couple of these seniors, but you're also looking at the junior class and our sophomore class at the time. And you're like, if we're going to get, like, now that we've been here, the target's going to be on our back and it's only going to get bigger and bigger over the next couple of years. But I'll tell you this, I would say the day that we got back from the cities after we lost in the state championship, it was like the season was starting the next day, like open gyms, weight room, guys, you know, staying after school to get shots up. You know, our coaches were phenomenal, you know, in, you know, staying within the rules and regulations and hours that they could in the off season. But I'll tell you this, you know, we had a group of guys that once you got a taste of state and once you got a taste of the state championship and then you lost, you know, you were kind of sitting there going like, we got to get back, and then we never want that feeling again. So, like you said, to get there the next 2 years and win two straight state championships and do it with that group of guys that, you know, we had been together since we were like third and fourth graders. Like, that's the really cool thing about small towns is it's like the people that you grow up playing kickball and tag with in first and second grade, those are your buddies that you're trying to win state championships with when you're a sophomore, junior, and senior. So to do it with your best friends and your childhood buddies, it was like I said, just a dream come true.
Yeah, that's the best. That's really what it's all about. So let's go to that junior year when you guys make it to state, Cody. So first round, who do you get? Lo and behold, Rushford Peterson. And I'm sure you guys had revenge on your mind, and you took care of business in that game. And then the semifinal, you go up against the number one ranked team in the state, St. Bernard's, with future Gopher Trevor Mbakwe on that team. What do you remember about that game?
That game, and I had played Trevor a bunch in AAU, you know, the couple of years before that. So Trevor and I kind of knew each other. And then obviously he had transferred to St. Bernard's and, you know, came down to 1A. And it was just one of those things like all year, like they were number one, we were number two. They were kind of the team from the cities that kind of got, you know, like all the press and, you know, had the big name guys. And we were kind of like that small, you know, school in the middle of nowhere, and it was a bunch of farm kids. And so for us to meet in the semifinals is what I thought, you know, was the best two teams in the state at the 1A level. And just, you know, for, you know, Trevor and I both had really, really good games that day. You know, just it really came down to which team's role players were going to step up. And, you know, Vanderstoot played a great game, shot the ball extremely well, hit some big shots down the stretch. But that was fun because, to be honest, that was a team that we had looked at all year and we're like, hey, if we can make it to state, we know that we could potentially run into them type deal. And like I said, you know, playing like Pat Cassidy and playing Trevor and some of those guys just in AAU the last couple of years, it was like it was going to be fun. You knew it was going to be like, hey, we want the best two teams, the biggest names in Class A basketball. And it was a war the entire game. It was two great halves. We jumped on them early. We had a halftime lead. And then, you know, we just held on for the win, but it was a great crowd at the Target Center. I think it was kind of like a David versus Goliath. You know, you had just this small farm town team versus the team from the cities. But it was one of those things. Every time I run into Trevor now at the state tournament, he's always down there at the barn, and we kind of laugh about it. And it's just one of those things where it's a great memory. He's a great guy. I love we kind of built a relationship through that game too. So it's just been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. That and again, speaking to that relationship, that's what basketball does, and that's what's neat about the game is you can build relationships not only with your teammates, but also competitors and guys you're going up against. So that's really cool. And then we get to the title game, Cody, and you guys are playing Cass Lake Bena. Again, another you know, kind of other end of the spectrum. They're in the north. You guys are in the south, so you probably haven't seen them much, but they're putting up like 95, 100 points a game. And what were you guys thinking as you head into that game against a juggernaut offense like them?
Well, the biggest thing kind of following them all year, because again, they were ranked like top five the entire season. And, you know, they had Brady Fairbanks and a lot of, you know, like when Ryan James was writing articles or different guys in the cities, it was kind of like Cody Schilling versus Brady Fairbanks. We were both averaging over 30 a game, and both teams played a really fun style of basketball. Like they would pick you up and they'd press you the entire game. They wanted to score 100 points. I think that season we averaged like 92 a game. So it was kind of one of those games where you knew it was going to be fast paced. You knew it was going to be up and down. You know, could we handle their pressure? Could we handle their kind of trapping press? And it did. I mean, it came down literally to the last second. You know, Aaron Vanderstoop hits a game winner, and you know, just back and forth. Brady had a great game. The Schoelshire twins, who obviously, you know, both 6'6" and went on to play college basketball. You just look at like that Final Four my junior year, how many college basketball players there were at the 1A level, and it seemed like everybody's team made it to state. And so just for the fan experience too, like that had to be such a fun, entertaining state tournament to watch.
Oh, definitely. And especially that title game, Cody. I remember watching that, and it, what a back and forth battle that was. I mean, guys were hitting threes from all over the place. And then we get down to the end of the game, and you guys are trailing, and it's your ball. And obviously, people probably know it's going to you. And you're driving, but it didn't end that way. What happened at that last play?
You know, it was one of those deals, like, you know, I can still remember Coach Okeson and Coach Kellen drawing it up, and they basically just said, they're like, hey, we're gonna get it to you. You know, we're gonna give you the ball in space. Their defense just really collapsed the entire game. Every time it seemed like I was going downhill, you know, they'd send a guy, maybe a third guy, but it was just collapsing. It was like, hey, kick it, and they were gonna make somebody else beat them. And so our coaches did a really good job of kind of just a fill behind play of like, Cody, get downhill. If you can get to a pull-up, if you can get to the rim, great. If they collapse and you see a double team, you're going to come to a jump stop. Vanderstoop's going to fill behind, kick it to him, and trust your teammate. And that was kind of the coolest thing about our team is like all throughout that year, anytime we were in a close game, it seemed like a different guy made the shot or a different guy stepped up. And so I got downhill and all of a sudden the defense collapsed and I saw a couple guys in front of me and Vanderstoop kind of just filled right behind. I tossed it back to him and he hits the three. And I think it was like his 10th or 11th three of the game. And just a thing of like, now when you look back to it as a coach, you're like, number one, finding the hot hand, but number two, just allowing yourself to just trust in your teammates and trust that your teammate's going to make the next play or make the big shot. We talk to our guys all the time about like giving up good shots for great shots. And that was something that was installed in me as a high school player is like, hey, don't feel like you always have to make the play. You're surrounded by really good players. Trust that your teammates can make the play too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Aaron Vanderstoop ends up hitting that three. I think it was an NBA three. I mean, it was deep,
Oh, deep, very
with like
deep.
6 seconds left,
Yep.
to give you guys the lead and ultimately the win, 74-73, and just an unbelievable game, Cody. And again, I looked it up today. Aaron still has the state record. He was 10 of 17 from three. And again, this isn't 2022, we're talking here. This is 2007 when guys weren't shooting as many threes as they are today. And that still is a state record. He's tied with a couple other guys, but he also had a great tournament. He holds the state record for most threes in the state tournament with 21 in three games. So not only was he good that game, Cody, he was hot really the whole tournament, right?
You know what's crazy about that is, so that was his senior year to start the season. Like seriously, like our first 5 or 6 games, he could not throw it in the ocean.
Really?
And he started in a slump. And I'm telling you, like he was like 3 of 32 to start the season. It was something just crazy. But we just like our coaches and our teammates, and again, he was our best friend, but we're like, dude, you are one of the best shooters in the state of Minnesota. Like if you lose your confidence and you stop shooting, we're not going to win state. We're not going to get to where we want to be. And so, like, we just kind of kept feeding into him. And all of a sudden, like, we hit like our sixth, seventh, eighth game of the year. And he had like a nine, he made like 9 threes, I want to say, like the eighth game of the year. And then he just took off. And then the state tournament, you know, the entire state of Minnesota just got to realize how great of a shooter and how great of a player he was.
Yeah, and that was just such a fun game and a fun ending. And again, he erupts for 32. You have a measly 28 that game to combine for 60 of your team's 74 points that game, Cody. And you guys end up capping it off with the state title, finished 32-1. Who was your one loss that year? Do you remember?
Gosh, who was our one loss that year? I think we lost to, was it Rochester Mayo in like the Breakdown Classic tournament or something?
Okay.
I think we lost to, I can't remember if Mayo was 3A or 4A that year, but I believe that we played in that Breakdown Classic tournament that they had kind of just started. And we played like Marshall, Litchfield, and Rochester Mayo. and which were all like 2, 3, and 4A schools. And I think Rochester Mayo, with like Jordan Hicks and Lucas Kuypers and that crew, they actually knocked us. I think they ended up beating us by like 8 or 9 points, and I think that was our loss of the year.
Okay. I don't know the answer, so you would know. But yeah, I was just curious if you knew who the one blemish that year was. So obviously a really, really fun ending to your season there, Cody. And then you're coming back your senior year. How much pressure what was there to win it again coming back?
So much, to be honest. Like, you think back of like, you're 17, 18 years old. Vanderstoop's gone, Chapey's gone, Nolte's gone. We graduated probably five of our top eight guys off that year before state championship team. So we had to have a lot of different guys step up. Like Trevor Groose now is a sophomore, 6'8", ends up playing at the University of South Dakota, but at that time had no varsity experience. We knew we had like talented guys in the classes below us, but we were so like junior senior heavy the year before that those guys just played JV and never really got a ton of experience. So one of those things where, you come in as the state champs, the target's on your back. I think I had been named like the Class A player of the year before, and so now you're getting a little more like college notoriety. The offers are starting to come in. People around town are like, okay, you know how it is in the small town, like, hey, we won state, we got a good chunk of our guys back, Schilling's back, we have these young talented guys, like, can they repeat? And so I think the biggest thing my senior year was our coaches did a really good job of like, guys, let's just try to enjoy it, like take this season for what it is. Like it seemed like every gym we went into, every small town that we went to, the gym was packed. Little kids everywhere, fans everywhere. It seemed like our town of 500, 550 people, it was just like a state line everywhere we went to. There was just 100 cars behind the bus. It was like Hoosiers, like, and our head coaches too, they were just like, guys, like this, like, enjoy it. Like, this is some of the best times of your lives. Like, enjoy being around each other, enjoy being a great teammate. And so I was fortunate. We had a great head coach and a great assistant coach. And, they just, I think instead of putting more pressure on us, they were just like, guys, embrace it for what it is. The biggest thing is, let's just win as many games as we can. Let's be healthy and give ourselves a chance to make another run at a state championship.
Yeah, and just hearing you talk about that, Cody, just kind of obviously on a much, much smaller scale, but it's comparable to, maybe a little bit what Caitlin Clark's going through right now, and just like the frenzy and trying to enjoy it. How in the moment, how hard is it though to kind of enjoy that stuff while you're doing it? Because obviously you had a lot going for you, scoring a lot of points, like you said, Class A player of the year, winning state title. How hard is it to kind of enjoy those things as you're going through them, and you don't really have the advantage of being older and the experience of having gone through it?
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, luckily, like at home, being one of three boys, and my parents, like, I just felt like my parents did a really good job of, like, when I came home, not overanalyzing like games and not just kind of taking every game and every day for kind of, what it was. I mean, obviously, like a lot of local newspapers, local radio stations, TV stations, like there was a lot of coverage of myself and our team, but at the end of the day, I think my parents, and that's kind of what I, when I, was a trainer, a few years back, it's like, parents, like when your kids come home, like, tell them you love them, tell them you're proud of them. You can still coach and correct, and there's times where you got to be tough on your kids too, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, like there's so, in a situation like that, there was so much pressure and so much, so many eyes on everything that you did, whether it was during the school day or it was every day at practice or it was every single game, to the point where I just think that the people, like we said earlier, the people I was around, the family that I was around, the community that I was in, they just did a really good job of keeping myself and keeping all my teammates just like humbled and grounded and just like, hey, fellas, like just try to enjoy it as much as you can.
And then not only are you guys going for the state title again, but you're also in the midst then of you're scoring a lot of points, and the state scoring record is within reach. What was that like as you were kind of, having that come up in the windshield quickly?
Gosh, it was insane. I remember the biggest mark was the first one that was like halfway through the season is when I scored my 3,000th point. And I just remember guys from the Star Tribune coming down. Mike came down and did a story, and just so many people from the cities going like, okay, there's this small town farm kid, in southern Minnesota, and he's about to score his 3,000th point. He's the player of the year last year, and so just a lot of media attention around not only the state championship, but then kind of making a run at 3,000 and then making a run at Isaiah's record. And so it was really cool. Like I said, I just tried to embrace it, enjoy it. But it was, like I said, it was, there was pressure, no doubt about it. But luckily, just the people and the coaches around me were like, hey, just enjoy it. It's going to happen. And when it happens, we're just going to celebrate it like crazy.
Yeah, and it did happen. You did break Isaiah Dolman's scoring record, and you did it where, Cody?
So the first round of the state tournament, we were actually playing in the Mariucci Center in the hockey
Yeah, how
arena,
about that? You did it at a hockey arena.
and it was so cool. I can't even remember how many people were there, but it felt like the place was, sold out. And it's funny because I think I needed like 23 points. And so, anyways, I hit like a baseline jumper, and it's hilarious because all the people in our hometown, they all had their camera phones out. It wasn't, nobody had iPhones and, tablets and all that. It was all the old, it looked like LeBron when he was at the WWE Raw match that you always see with his flip phone out.
Yep.
But it was really cool, to do it at state. Like some people are like, that probably added a little pressure. Or for me, to be honest, it was kind of like a distraction because I just wanted to win state. I wanted to keep winning. I wanted to keep playing with my buddies. And so it was kind of like took a little pressure off the game, and it was like, hey, just go out there, do what you do, play, do everything to the best of your ability, go, go score points, do what you've been doing your entire life. But it was sweet, just it almost felt like we won state twice because the media attention that we got after that game, and just it was really cool to break the scoring record. Isaiah was so great about it. He was one of the first people to text me and call me, and he was at Michigan State at the time, and he's like, dude, I'm so proud of you. And that's for me too. When the scoring record was broken again, it's like, hey, records are meant to be broken. Like when I broke the scoring record in high school, I couldn't wait to share that with somebody else. When I broke the scoring record at Augustana, it was like, man, record, like if you care about the next generation of players and the program that you're in, you want records to be broken. You want records to be sh just shattered. So it was cool to get the record, and it's been cool to see it broken a couple times since then too.
Yeah, and Isaiah had it for a whopping 2 years. And then I think you had it for a whopping 2 years after that, Cody. You finished with 3,428 points. Do you remember who broke your record?
Kevin Noreen. So
Yes, that is correct.
it was actually Kevin Noreen, and he was actually, we played them in the state championship my senior year too. So it's kind of cool because that's who we played against. We beat them, we won state, and then 2 years later, he breaks the scoring record. So it was a guy that I was familiar with their coaching staff and with him from playing him in the state championship. And he was a guy, like, honestly, when I was going through the line as a senior, you just knew like he was going to be special. Obviously, he went and played at West Virginia for Bobby Huggins. And, I just remember going through the handshake line, and I'm like, dude, like your time is coming. Like you are such a good player. So it was cool that we kind of had that connection too.
Yeah, and you guys do finish it off, Cody, in the state championship game, like you said, against Minnesota Transitions. You guys win that game to cap off your senior season, 81-63. Who you mentioned you lost a bunch of guys from the previous year. Who were some of your teammates that really stepped up that year to help get you guys to the mountaintop then?
So, just we had some guys that were role players kind of the couple of years before that turned into starters. Weston DeBerg had a really good year for us. Brandon and Trevor Groos, they were brothers 2 years apart. And obviously, like I said, Trevor went on to play Division I basketball at the University of South Dakota. There was actually, it was funny because it's like Aaron Vanderstoop's little brother, Adam Vanderstoop, ended up being a really good player for us. Josh Nolte's little brother, Tom Nolte, ended up being a really good. So, how small towns are. You got these families with two, three, four boys in the same family, and it just, they're all 2, 3 years apart. So it just seemed like it was funny because some of the guys that I won state with, the first year, all of a sudden their little brothers were the guys that I won state with the second year. So it was just really cool. I had a good group of seniors that year, had a good group of juniors and sophomores. My little brother Casey was an eighth grader on that team. So it was really fun. You know, we were up 20 with probably about a minute left. And our head coach actually subbed in Casey for me. So it was funny because I think one of the writers from the cities actually said, you know, it was kind of like the Schilling patch passing the torch to the next Schilling. So just a really cool memory and moment for my family, and a good way to end my high school career too.
Yeah, no doubt. And as we mentioned, you finished your career at the time, Cody, leading the setting the state scoring mark, but you also set the state record with assists as well. How cool was it to have both of those?
Really cool. Well, I tell people all the time, I played for a long time, so that helps too. And we played a
Yes.
lot of games, you know, making it to the state championship three times. But, you know, assists is, it's really a team thing because obviously I can, you know, I can draw the defense and make the pass, but your teammates got to make the shot. And lucky for me, I played with a lot of really good players, a lot of really good scorers, you know, guys like the Vanderstoop brothers and the Nolte brothers. And, you know, we could keep going and keep going, but just guys that could really shoot the basketball. So it was fun. It was fun to graduate with the scoring record and the assist record. But like I told my coaches and my teammates, you know, the biggest thing is having a coaching staff that believed in me, put the ball in my hand, and put me in positions to be successful. And then, like I said, teammates being able to, you know, catch and finish around the rim or knock down threes. And it was just like, it's just, I was super blessed. You know, there's a lot of really good players that are in small towns where maybe they're the only, you know, really good player on their team. And I was surrounded by other college players, and I was surrounded by really, really good players and really good coaches. And that's a blessing. It really is.
Yeah. And the part that I find interesting now, Cody, is Ellsworth as a community exists, but the school doesn't really anymore. You guys combined with Adrian, right?
Yeah, so Ellsworth still has the school there, K through 12, but all athletics are now Adrian Ellsworth, and they're the Dragons. So it's one of those things where they still play like three basketball games on the boys' side in Ellsworth, three girls' basketball games in Ellsworth. But I would say 80% or 75 to 80% of the, you know, the games, whether that be football, basketball, baseball, softball, everything's kind of played in Adrian now. And it's just one of those things. The town is getting smaller. You know, class sizes went from, you know, 20 plus kids in a class to now they're more like 10-ish kids in a class. So good for the Adrian community of, you know, accepting the Ellsworth, you know, student athletes and kind of taking them in. And it's been fun. You know, I have a couple cousins that coach for Adrian Ellsworth. My sister-in-law Kurt's wife is actually the superintendent in Adrian. So it's been fun. It's you're sad to see kind of the Ellsworth Panthers go away. But it's been fun to see how Adrian and Ellsworth have combined and stayed competitive in a lot of sports.
Yeah, it'll be fun to kind of keep track and see how those guys do going forward. So, what was recruiting like for you at that time, Cody? Who was kind of coming after you, and who were your final schools that you were looking at?
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, I probably had, you know, probably five or six D1 offers. What now is the Summit League? You know, like NDSU recruited me really hard. You know, NDSU, UND, USD, SDSU. You know, got a lot of letters, and talked to a lot of coaches from like UNI, Drake, Creighton at the time was obviously in a way different situation. Wofford out in South Carolina recruited a lot of Minnesota guys. Wofford actually had offered me, and you know, a lot of D1 talks. But like I said, I had about five or six offers. But I wanted to. My big thing was I wanted to go somewhere where I could play, I could make an impact. Starting for 4 years was something that was important to me. I wanted to play, you know, for a team that could win a conference championship and make an NCAA tournament. And I just felt like Division II was a really, really good route. So actually, my last three schools were actually North Dakota State, who was going through kind of like the D2, D1 transition, and then Winona State and Augustana. And ultimately, Augustana was an hour away from home. I fell in love with the coaching staff, fell in love with, you know, the city of Sioux Falls. And it just, you know, for me, it just ended up being a really, really good situation.
Yeah, it sure turned out to be because you were an All-American. Led when you graduated, you were the school's leading scorer. Like you said, Cody, you made a couple NCAA tournaments. I think goal accomplished, right?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things when you commit to a place, like for me, like I didn't want to transfer. I was committing to a place for 4 years. I was going to put my heart and soul into a program, to a coaching staff, to a locker room. And, you know, it was just one of those things. I was very fortunate, you know, to play in three NCAA tournaments, make it to the Sweet 16 twice, you know, have a really good individual career. But then not only that, but literally like my teammates are, you know, I'm in a group chat with basically all of them still. And, you know, it's just, I grew up with two brothers, and now you feel like you have about 22 brothers because it's just such a close, tight-knit community. We call it the Augustana Brotherhood. And I'm just, like I said, where you go, where you spend your 4 years, who you put yourself around is really important. And, you know, everybody goes, hey, if you could do it all over again, would have you went D1? Would have you taken one of those scholarships? You know, what have you walked on with the Gophers? And I'm like, I would go to Augustana every single time. So
that's awesome. Love it. And then after college, did you have any offers to play professionally overseas or anything?
Yeah, I actually had. So when I got done, I signed with a guy named Mike Nadich, and he represented like a lot of Big Ten players at the time. Like he had represented a couple of Wisconsin guys that I knew really well. And anyways, I had an offer in Germany and an offer in Italy. And, you know, my little brother was just starting college ball. I always wanted to kind of teach and coach. That's what I wanted to do. I got a job offer in a small school called Del Rapids St. Mary to be a sixth grade teacher. And then I was coaching basketball, cross country. I was helping out with the track team and I loved it. It was a small community. It reminded me a lot of Ellsworth. And so anyways, I was there for a year teaching and coaching, but yeah, I had two opportunities to play professionally overseas. And, you know, I had a really good experience. Obviously my high school experience was great. My college experience was great. And I had just, as far as playing days, I had kind of maximized what I wanted to do as a player. And I was just ready for like that what's next type deal.
Yeah. Did you always want to get into coaching then, Cody? Yeah, was that a goal for you?
Yeah. You know, basketball is just, it's in my blood. It's in my DNA. I thought, to be honest, for the longest time, I was like, I'm going to be a high school coach. I'm going to teach. I'm going to impact young lives. I'm going to build relationships with kids inside and outside of the classroom. And you know, when we were in Waco, Texas, I coached at the high school level for 3 years. So I do, I enjoy the high school level. Obviously now I'm at the college level. I love it. But I did, when I was growing up, I was always kind of like the people that I thought had the biggest impact on my life were my coaches and teachers at the high school level. And I was like, if I can do that for the next generation, that was kind of a goal of mine.
Yeah. And you mentioned your stint in Texas where you were a head coach there, Cody. What was maybe the most valuable thing that you were able to pick up and learn as a head coach that you're now going to incorporate into the Augustana job?
The coolest thing for me, you know, my wife was the chief of staff at Baylor University. So I got to get really close to like Scott Drew and his staff at Baylor, and then Kim Mulkey and her staff. So a lot of those guys are still friends to today. You know, but it was just watching those two programs. You know, when we were there, the women's team won a national championship, the men's team won a national championship. You know, like Matt Rule was the football coach, and Joey McGuire, who's now at Texas Tech, Matt Rule's now at Nebraska, you know, became really good friends with a lot of the football coaches too. And just watching how people at that level operate, how they interact with their student athletes, how they recruit, you know, how they fundraise, just how they interact with the fan bases just on a day to day. And so it was really cool watching that. And then, you know, being at the high school level, my first year, you know, we went 500. My second year, we make it all the way to the state semifinals in 3A in Texas. And if you know anything about Texas high school sports, it is a different world down there. But it was really cool. You know, six of our top seven guys are either playing college basketball or college football. So it was a great group of kids, great group of parents, learned a lot just being down in Texas. And very, how you operate a high school program in Texas is very similar to how you operate a college program around here. So it was a great experience, a great 3 years, had success, but yeah, it definitely set me up for success to come back to Augustana.
Love hearing that. And my last episode that we had, Cody, as I mentioned, we had the Minnesota State Mankato coaches who just won a national championship, and Coach Morgan Thaler, who you'll be going up against because they're in your conference.
Yep.
Augustana won a championship here, you know, just under a decade ago. What does it do to your conference and then you guys as opponents to raise your game when someone else in your conference goes out and wins a national championship like that?
Yeah, you look at like Augustana, Northwest Missouri State, now Minnesota State, Mankato. I think there's a something like 11 of the last 13 years, either the national champion or the runner up has played in the central region. And so you just look at, in my opinion, I think the Northern Sun is the best Division II conference in men's basketball in the country. And I think the MIAA is probably right up there, one or two. And you just look, we both make up the same region to make it to the Elite Eight. So if you're going to have a chance to win a national championship like Mankato did this year, you got to first be able to be, top three, top four in your conference. And I tell people all the time, just watching the Northern Sun tournament this year, coaching in it, watching that and then going and watching the Summit League, I'm like, if you're playing high level Division II basketball, you're basically playing low major Division I basketball. It really is. You look at the athletes, the coaching, the facilities, the support as far as fan bases go. It is. I mean, Mankato kind of set the standard this year of, this is what a national championship team looks like. And they were active in the portal. They did a really good job recruiting last offseason. And they kind of set the standard for, okay, if we're going to get to that level and we're going to compete with those teams, that's what our roster's got to look like. We have to have length, we have to have athleticism, we have to have a few, high level Division II and Division I transfers. And we've kind of mimicked that a little bit over the last 2 weeks.
What are one or two goals that you have going into this season and maybe the next 5 years then, Cody, as you take over the Viking program?
Our goal every year, from when I was a player to an assistant coach, the head coach now is, at Augustana, we want to win 20 games every year. That's our goal. That's where we want to be. We think if we win 20 games, we can compete for a conference championship. We can compete for an NCAA tournament berth. And that's what I sell the kids. And that's what I sell to our recruits and our guys coming back is, fellas, if we can win 20 plus games and we can be top three or four in our conference, we're going to give ourselves a chance to make the regional tournament. And you know as well as I do that if you make the Central Regional Tournament, you just got to win three games. And if you come out of that thing, you can make a run at the national championship.
Yeah, as Mankato just proved it. So, it can be done. It can be done. So we're getting near the end of the program here, Cody. We're going to jump into a little space we like to call the Bear's Den. And got a few last minute questions here for you. Obviously, you're probably a basketball fan yourself, Cody, watching games and going to games. If you could go to a championship level game at high school, college, or the pros, the NBA, which game are you picking?
I'll tell you what, I'm a huge T-Wolves fan. That's why you and I get along so well. If the T-Wolves can get past the Suns, which I don't know if we can in that first round or not, but I'll tell you what, if the T-Wolves are ever in the NBA finals, I think my brothers and I will be as close to the court as we can because I've been a Timberwolves fan since obviously KG was ruling the Target Center, and it's been so fun to watch Ant and Cat and Rudy and J-Mac and all those guys. So I'm a huge T-Wolves fan, and I'll tell you what, I love college basketball. I love high school basketball, but if the T-Wolves, if they're playing in the NBA finals, I'm there. So
Okay, well, I'm going to hold you to that. So
there we go.
if I find out you have like a big recruiting trip or something like that, just going to have to cancel it.
We're gonna have to cancel or reschedule it. That's just what's gonna have
Exactly.
to happen. So
Most memorable game that you played in, Cody, in your career?
I would say the first state championship that we won my junior year. Not only was it a buzzer beater, we're dog piled on top of each other at center court in the Target Center, which when you're a kid from Ellsworth, Minnesota, you dream of playing in the same place that Kevin Garnett's playing in and Wally Szczerbiak's playing in and Big Al's playing in. And so just not only to get to state, but to win state and in the kind of the manner that we did it with a buzzer beater. That was the coolest game I've ever been a part of.
Okay. Best player you ever went up against, either in high school or college?
Gosh, I would say Trevor Mbakwe in high school. Obviously, Trevor and I had a great battle. Trevor obviously had a great career at Minnesota, had a professional career for a while. I would say Trevor's probably the best high school basketball player I played against. And then as far as college, man, when we played Arizona in an exhibition game, and obviously Derek Williams was playing for Arizona at the time, and then the Timberwolves take him, number one overall. So probably To be honest, probably Derek Williams and probably Trevor in high school.
Did you guys go to Arizona then for that game, Cody, or where was
Yeah,
that played?
so we actually played at Arizona my sophomore year of college and my junior year of college.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then we played the Gophers my senior year. We were beating the Gophers by 8 at halftime. And then they came out and just pressed the brakes off us in the second half. And I think we ended up losing by like 10 or 11 points. But that was when Trevor and Rodney and Austin and Andre Holland. So it was fun playing all those guys too. But we're sitting there at halftime. We're up 8 and we're like, we're going to beat the Gophers. And all of a sudden they pressed us the entire second half. I told Trevor too, I said, I want to see the free throw disparity that second half because I think the Gophers shot about 25 free throws and I think we shot about 3.
Yep.
But no, they had a great year, and obviously they made the NCAA tournament that year. So just fun to get to play the Gophers as a Minnesota guy too.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. What's one thing that people wouldn't know about you, Cody?
Man, that people wouldn't know about me. I'm pretty open. I'm a relationship guy. I let a lot of people into my life. I share a lot on social media. One thing people might not know about me, I'm very active in my faith. I kind of live my faith out loud. My wife and I try to get to church every Sunday. We try to, help people. We always talk about like being the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm very, very active in my faith, and that's something I'm proud of, and I'm definitely not ashamed of it.
Oh, good to hear. Love that. Love that. And then the final question we have for all our guests, Cody, is who are your five favorite basketball players of all time? Again, these could be college guys, pro guys, a mix of the two, but who are Cody Schilling's five favorite basketball players?
Well, I'll tell you this, growing up, I was a huge Chicago Bulls fan, but I wasn't an MJ fan. I was actually a Scottie Pippen fan.
Oh, wow.
So I would say the two guys that I loved watching, Scottie Pippen was, I had Scottie Pippen stuff all over my room, elementary, middle school. So love Scottie Pippen. You can't not love Michael Jordan. And then KG is a big reason why I wore number 21, because if you grew up, in the 90s, early 2000s, and you were a Minnesota kid, Kevin Garnett was your guy. Everybody wanted to be KG on the at recess. Everybody wanted to wear number 21. So I would say Scottie, MJ, KG, loved Allen Iverson. Just loved his game. Loved how tough he was. Loved how he played with a chip on his shoulder. And then I'm a LeBron guy. I love LeBron James. You talk about pressure. He came into the NBA as an 18-year-old. And he was going to be the next Michael Jordan, the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's a guy that's never been in trouble, never been arrested. He's been league MVP 4 times. He's won 4 championships. He's a guy that he's in year 21 and he's still one of the top players in the game. He's broken every record that you can break. But I'll tell you what, right now, my guy right now, so I'm going to give myself a sixth guy,
Okay, off the bench.
is Anthony Edwards. And I'll tell you what, as a Minnesota fan, I think in the next 2 years, he could potentially be like in that with him and Jason Tatum and some of these young guys. But I think Anthony Edwards could be one of the best players in the NBA and best players in the world, give it 2 years.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Boy, you knew the LeBron stats, man, just reeling them off.
I'll tell you what, I've had to like, I grew up in like, you were kind of like the end of the MJ era, the new LeBron era. So everybody I argue with, they're like, you wear Jordans, you can't be a LeBron guy. I'm like, guys, I just appreciate really good basketball. And like I said, with a guy who comes in with a nickname of King James and literally has the weight of the world on his shoulders, how he's handled himself, conducted himself, been the face of the NBA for 21 years. If you're a basketball fan, how could you not appreciate LeBron James?
Yeah, what he's done and continues to do at his age. I mean, it's obviously we saw what Tom Brady did into his 40s, but I think playing quarterback in the NFL these days is a tiny bit different than getting up and down for, I mean, I bet LeBron averaged over 30 minutes a game this year when he was playing. So it's amazing.
It's absolutely incredible. When you think about the average age of an NBA player probably being like 25, and then you got a guy like LeBron who's pushing 40. And not only that, but he, like you said, he's getting up 30 plus, minutes a game, and he's got to guard these young guys who are more athletic than basketball players we've ever seen before. They shoot it from deeper than they've ever shot before. And it just, you look at his stats and you're like, okay, he's 39 years old. He's in year 21 and he's still putting up 26, 7, and 7, and he's doing it probably more efficiently than he ever has before in his career. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
It really is. So, what's next for you, Cody, here then? What do we got coming down the pipe for you as far as recruiting more, filling out your staff a little bit more? What's next for you guys?
So we got a GA spot left to fill. So the staff is almost done, just one GA spot left. Our roster is at 11 guys right now. I probably want to carry 14 or 15. The nice thing is we have a recruit on campus this weekend. We have three more recruits on campus next week. So just one of those things is like, just finish putting our roster together. We feel really good about where we're at. We've added some really talented pieces, some length, but so the biggest thing is finish the staff, finish the roster, and then we got to get out to high school AAU tournaments. Like the first couple weekends, we've had kids on campus out of the portal, so we haven't really been able to get out to, what we'd want to do as far as recruiting high school kids and, talking to AAU directors and AAU coaches. So that's going to be a big thing too. Like, finishing up April, getting into May. We have our summer camp season. We have 2 weeks of camps that we run in June at Augustana, but then really end of June into July, just getting out and recruiting and just figuring out like what our 25 and 26 class is going to look like. Because like I told you before, we're going to continue to recruit high school kids and especially recruit the state of Minnesota at a high level.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time, Cody. It was fun chatting with you. I know a lot of people will enjoy hearing from you around your great high school days and what you have going on now, taking the reins at Augustana. So thanks so much for taking the time and chatting this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Wish you the best. And if you ever want me back on, let me know and we'll work something out. So thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Cody.